Hello, everybody. It's the audio experience. Or wait a minute. What is it? What show is this?
Fuck you. It's just Stunt Granny. Just go with it.
it's Stunt Granny audio. Sorry. And I'm Jeremy. That was Kevin. Obviously, already, you know, kind of throwing his hands up with me. So we're here to talk about wrestling. Wow, what a horrible way to start this show. And no, we're not starting over. So,
yeah, we're a class act around this.
Yeah,
joint.
Warts and all. All right, so we're basically trying to figure out how to do today's show because most of the time we can usually talk just WWE because TNA is either covered over the weekend or Impact was so uneventful that it didn't warrant discussion, which is a lot of the times. But this is the first time we've done a regular show, or the second one. Well, first time, Kevin, and I've done a show that immediately following Raw and Impact being on the same day. So trying to stick with the shorter audios, but then at the same time stick with, you know, trying to cover as much as we can. So
yeah, and it probably didn't help that Eric and I, neither of us saw any of Impact last week. So we couldn't really go over it at all because neither of us gave much of a shit. So I did a little flipping this week, and once I realized that CSI Miami was not new last night, I did record the tail end of Impact. Because really, I still just don't, you know, they just do not give me enough incentive to go out of my way to stop recording. Even Miami has kind of fallen on hard times, but you know, they just haven't given me enough incentive to want to record their program. And this week, really, from what I saw, wasn't much different.
No. And really, since we'll just stick with this for now, since we're on the subject, is the ratings are out. And Impact drew a 0.8. Not 0.8751 to a 0.8. They drew a one something last week. I don't remember what it was. No,
it's just a one, I thought.
No, and they rounded that up, so it was actually a 0.97 or something last week.
Oh,
okay. Something like that. No. I'm sorry. It was a 1.9. No, that definitely wasn't it. Anyways, it's still. And they dropped viewers from last week.
And they're heading into a pay-per-view this weekend. And they, from the last half an hour that I watched, they hyped a match. And then also when I was reading Caldwell's report about it, he said that a ladder match got announced on their online TV show, but they only referenced it in passing. And then they only referenced it when they were talking about all the guys in the Ultimate X match. So I was confused.
What?
Is
it there's very, a ladder match?
That's what Caldwell mentioned. Let me scroll
Jesus
down
Christ.
To it.
All right.
Yeah, because it was during that. And even as much as I like both Saban and Shelley on the mic, wow, was that segment just horrendous.
The whole segment, the whole segment's atrocious. Anyways. That's not what we're here to talk about. I guess in a way we are, but it.
Yeah, because it says, he says, what ladder match for casual viewers at home who don't know anything about this being announced on TNA's online show last week. You know what? At this point, I'm a casual viewer, so I had no clue what they were talking about. And when you're trying to hype the Ultimate X match, I didn't even know what the Ultimate X match is for. Like the X Division champion isn't involved in it. Oh, and that was the other match that they hyped. And that was just weird too, because Shannon Moore as a babyface yelling at the announcer is just weird.
Well, and then also saying welcome to Glam Rock. Hey, dumb fuck, that's not what a glam rock guy looks like.
Mohawk with spikes was not glam rock. That was
and
rock.
Anyways, their ratings suffered, and Raws were huge. Now, a big part of that's going to be because of Steve Austin. Another part's going to be because the main event for Raw, you had, I can't say main event, the final angle for Raw was McMahon Hart's contract signing. So you've got McMahon and Steve Austin in the ring together.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, or you can watch AJ Styles versus the Clown. It's up to you. With the retarded guy with long hair and the old guy with blood on his face like usual.
Yeah, it was, I mean, it wasn't even a competition again. Like, I think, oh, this is the one thing I mentioned to Eric. I think I flipped over really quick to check to see what that first 5 minutes was last week. Just like when Michaels was coming down to the ring, and I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. And I just flip right back. Like, there was no reason for me to flip over between Undertaker and Shawn Michaels yapping. And this week, I'm glad I just taped the tail end of Impact because, the end of Raw, even though I'm not going to, like, say it was the most spectacular thing ever, it was better. Jeff Hardy looked rusty in the ring.
Well, he looked ridiculous, too. I've always complained about that face paint stuff.
Yeah.
And the beginning of the show, it was Eric I was talking to. He called me. And the beginning of the show, an orange Hummer pulls up. Abyss is driving. So right there, cue the circus music. Hogan's in the front seat with him. In the back seat is Rob Van Dam. And then next to him is Jeff Hardy with a full face paint hat, everything on. And you're like, what the fuck is going on here? I mean, that click, you turn it off right there. That's just stupid. If Jeff wants to wear that stuff, his match, absolutely fine. But when you show him wearing it normally and then he's in the back stretching with it on, it's like, this is dumb. No one would take this seriously.
Well, I don't know if the stretching part is so bad because you could always put it on since, you know, maybe you want to have your hands cleaned after.
I'll give you that.
But yeah, still, coming to the arena with it on already is just kind of weird. Like, he's not the great Muta or something like that who is always wearing it.
Yeah, and then getting out of the car. Yeah. He just totally fucked me. That's what I was going to say. So, yeah, but I don't think Jeff Hardy's going to help TNA until they get out of that goddamn studio.
Well,
because that's not the audience for Jeff Hardy. There are no kids in that audience. No chicks, well, I'm sorry, underweight chicks and kids. They don't go to Impact.
Not only that, sometimes I just don't understand that crowd. Like, I guess it's fine to root for both sides, but there's no reason to root for AJ Styles at this point.
Yeah, exactly. Because he's totally unlikable in a good way.
Yeah.
No.
And they just are, they still get the, we want Jeff, we want AJ chant mm-hmm. going last night. I'm like, huh?
Yeah.
And he already beat the champ with no interference, basically.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, there was stuff happening at ringside, but he has already beaten the champ in his first match back.
Yep.
What does he have to prove at this point?
Yeah, but yet at the pay-per-view,
but he just walk away.
Yeah, hang on. I'm at this. I finally found the ladder match. By the way, we can explain that in a second.
Okay.
Yeah, but at Destination X, AJ Styles is defending against Abyss, who's pointing at Hulk Hogan's ring. Just.
Oh,
wow.
And I don't know if I just wasn't paying attention or not, but I don't understand why he's wearing that on his marriage hand.
Because he's married to the power of Hulk Hogan. The Hall of Fame ring brings power, so you want to give it the respect it's due. So,
you know, it's just something that simple. And plus, like, if you put it on your... He's right-handed, and if you put it on your power hand and you're punching somebody, well, you're going to hurt them a little bit more if you put it on your good hand.
Yeah. Oh, all right. Well, I finally figured out the pay-per-view card. All right, because really, what more
we're
is there to
say?
We're
not doing a preview, so you may as well throw it out right
well,
now.
Well, only because this leads to confusion. Now, I watched that segment, and it started off with the machine guns, and then they started bad-mouthing Generation Me. And Tanae and Taz are always talking about the Ultimate X match. Well, then all of a sudden, Shelley goes, this is, you know, the winner is determined as the number one contender for the tag titles. I'm like, what? I honestly thought that was just a slip of the tongue. You know, he meant the X Division title. Well, then Kendrick runs out. Then somebody else. Then Kazarian comes out with a ladder. And I'm like, oh, they're going to use a ladder in the Ultimate X match. I was like, well, it's kind of unnecessary, but all right, whatever. But no, as it turns out, the tag team match is the Ultimate X match between the Machine Guns and Generation Me. And then the ladder match is Daniels, Kendrick, Amazing Red, and Kazarian to be the number one contender for the X Division title. But you would have no idea what's going on with that. I mean, I don't know. It was a very strange segment overall.
Yeah, you're mashing two matches together with
for no reason.
For no reason, with people that I'm not sure. Has Generation Me been on TV the last 2 weeks at all?
No, the Machine Guns haven't as well. So
and they're supposed to be in some match that we're supposed to be geeked about. Like, oh, the Ultimate X is coming back, and the guys haven't even been on TV.
Yeah, and there's been no personality given to Generation Me.
Their clothing is about as plain can be. Black jeans and a
purple
handkerchief.
But they're the New Age hardies. That's why.
But at least it is awful looking as the Hardys tights were, and they were awful.
You didn't like those brown and yellow checkers?
The brown
plaid?
And yellow plaid. please. That's just visual assault. It's almost, that was at least better because you're like, oh my god, it's those guys in those ugly tights.
Yeah.
Like those.
And headbands.
And headbands. Those black pants are so plain. It's like, huh? And they haven't really talked at all until last night when they got all of 2 minutes maybe.
Yeah.
To mention that, by the way, when we showed up 3 months ago, we beat you guys. And I was like, oh, crap, that's right.
Yeah, remember we were bitching about that a long time ago? That's one of those moments.
Yeah.
That's right, we were complaining about this. I mean, okay.
That is how forgettable their programming is. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, and another thing is, going to the forgettable part, I mentioned this last week. Somebody wasn't mentioned at all this week.
And we had
it's a big one. It's a big one too.
Oh my god!
Yeah.
Yeah, Fatty Arbuckle not get mentioned. Got kidnapped 2 weeks ago, and nobody has mentioned him.
Yep. Not even a peep of. We still don't know what happened to Samoa Joe, or the police are investigating. Absolutely nothing has been said. They don't even hint around that he's gone. I mean, it's just like, wow.
Right now, CM Punk and Evan Bourne are just laughing.
Yeah.
Even Colt Cabana is laughing at CM Punk, or laughing at Samoa Joe. He's like, well, at least I get on my TV shows.
Yeah, I remember reading an interview. CM Punk said that him and Joe are still friends. They still get together and all that, but they never talk wrestling. Why the fuck would Joe want to talk wrestling with CM Punk? That's why you two don't talk about wrestling, because Joe's seething. Oh, he's like, wait a minute, you've been featured twice on WrestleMania.
God.
Oh, well then.
I'm sorry. My sense of have just been assaulted by my boxer who just let off a gasser like you would not believe.
Well, that's why I put my two fucking gassers outside today. motherfuckers.
Oh, one, my God.
Hack and slash. One farts, one hacks her way through the rest of it. Assholes.
Okay, but yeah, no, I... Yeah, like, what would Samoa Joe say? So, like, you're only, like, the third largest heel in all of the world.
So let me get this straight. You haven't had a singles match at WrestleMania yet? Well, no, not till this year, but, I mean, I've won Money in the Bank twice and, you know, been featured on pay-per-view main events that, like, hundreds of thousands of people see.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about this anymore. I've had the title belt three times.
Yeah. He actually got someone. I mean, when I saw that on Friday, did you see SmackDown Friday?
Yeah,
that opening segment. I mean, you know my affection for CM Punk, but even I turned to Elise and said, "You know what? He's coming off as a total creep." I mean, even for someone who likes him, I was like,
awesome.
"Ew." It was awful.
Yes, it was.
I mean, you know me and kids too. I don't care. Fuck them. And even then, I was like, "God damn, he's a total creep, man." Ugh. But then, conversely, Joe gets saddled with a shaved head, a big fake tattoo, and now he's kidnapped and has never been seen again. I remember when Ric Flair got kidnapped in WCW and they had like a helicopter over it and all that stuff, and they at least followed up on it. But I mean, and that was during the same show, I believe. They can't do it with, like, weeks planning.
Yeah.
It goes without saying there's still too many people in TNA. Just flat out many people.
And my Pro Wrestling Ohio source said that they might be hiring, that Don Decadence that works with Sex Appeal.
Mm-hmm.
Is currently the fuck buddy of Jeremy Borash.
Oh, wow, good for him.
Yeah, and they're debating hiring her. I'm like, oh, my Lord, dude, they do not need anyone else on their roster.
No.
Like, there is no place for her. And I had forgotten that Madison Rain was Ashley Lane in Pro Wrestling Ohio that first season.
Hmm.
I was like, oh, fuck, I forgot. Because I mentioned, I was like, oh, that's right. She put on the big balloons, and everybody was happy with her.
How the hell do you spell decadence? I'm having the hardest time.
D-E-C-A-D-E-N-C-E.
Well, fuck. Google search doesn't have any images of her.
No. She's good looking, but, you know, I don't... You know, if we're going to go on a rating scale here, I don't even think she's good enough looking for TNA.
That's pretty sad when they employ the Dudleys, though. So.
Well, but none of them are females.
Yeah, well, yeah.
You know, wow, she's better looking than Horseface. That's for sure, but Horseface, well, that was weird, too. They had that weird segment with TNA Impact and Jeremy Borash and her sitting there dancing around in the rain. Like they're fucking Gene Kelly and whoever else the female was.
Yes, I don't get that.
Like, what? She hasn't... Like, she's barely on TV. Like, what's the point of using her now? Like, nobody... Like, anybody that's watched since you've changed over has no clue who SoCal Val is. Like, none whatsoever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Oh, okay. I thought that was her. Yeah, well. It's a solid six. Anyways, all right, so we spent entirely too much time on TNA when a Raw actually had something going for it. Just, I don't care if we were in the middle of a conversation, we're done. But over on Raw, Austin was the guest host. He came out, and that's when Eric called, so I went back and rewound it, and he did some of the Stone Cold stuff, like shtick, actually. But he wasn't acting like Stone Cold Steve Austin. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but the thing that I really liked, and yeah, this is what him and I am'd about today, like, he fit in, like, he still knew how to fit in, even mm-hmm. though he was acting like himself.
Yeah.
Which is more than anybody else can say about, you know, their guest host gig.
Yeah. Yeah, and I like how he didn't Bigfoot people. He just kind of added, he added to it instead of, like, you got to imagine if Hulk Hogan was a guest host, he'd Bigfoot everything on that show.
Yeah, because it was nice of him, like, even right after that segment comes out, Cena comes out, it was nice of Lawler and Cole to note that, oh, this is the reason why Batista hates Cena. He gives him the little nod.
Well, he faked that he was going to give the stunner, which I thought was funny.
Yeah. And then, you know, kind of like, okay, I'm cool with you. And then, you know, he's still drinking beer coming up the rampway and Big Show comes down. And they give their little history. And then, yeah, this is kind of a perfect little segment saying what's wrong. Like, we didn't know what the ladder match was for TNA. But then Michael Cole, is awful as I think he is, says, oh, these guys had a long-running feud and they fought at whatever WrestleMania that they fought at. I was like, right there gives you a segment that even the most atrocious announcer in the WWE has more sense and wherewithal than either Taz or Mike Tenay to note the history of the wrestlers.
Yeah. Well, which is rare for WWE. But in this case, since it was a WrestleMania rewind weekend or a reunion replay, whatever they called it, it was fitting. The one thing I liked, that I really liked about the whole Austin Cena thing was, and I asked Eric, and he wasn't sure either, but that was the first time Austin and Cena have been in the ring together.
I can remember.
I mean, and so to me, I was like, I honestly got excited. I was like, holy shit, we're going to see something really awesome here. And then Austin bowed out real quick, and I was like, well, that was weird. I guess because Austin, I mean, he's made it clear he's not going to do, you know, he's not doing wrestling. Anything now.
Yeah.
So, and that's fine. And I thought that's...
It's more than fine. It's thank God that somebody is standing up to that. Yes, I'm done.
Yeah. And he looked good. He was in shape, but he wasn't in wrestling shape, though. I mean...
Well, he looked smaller.
Yeah, but he looked... But he looked healthy, so...
Yeah, he looked healthy, and he still looks like a big dude. You know? The same with The Rock. Like, they both look like they're still working out on a regular basis, but they're not eating goji berries in the meantime to make things look a little bit better and a little bit bigger.
Yeah, but I... Oh, did you notice the one thing Austin did differently this time? Which kind of signifies that he's no longer in wrestling?
He hasn't been doing the fingers for a while.
Well, no, that wasn't it. It was pretty obvious. I even Eric pointed it out too.
He didn't do the beer swill. He just kind of drank it. No.
No, he didn't have a new shirt.
Oh yeah, I did notice.
It was just a plain blank shirt. I was like, holy shit! He's truly out of wrestling. It's amazing.
That was actually the first thing that popped into my mind. I saw him coming out with a blank shirt, and I'm like, what?
Yeah, and he had a white t-shirt underneath it. Yeah. I would have thought that he would have been wearing, like, a Damages t-shirt or something like that. Something to promote the movie.
That would have made some sense to do that.
Yeah,
but...
Well, unless there was some sort of contractual thing he wasn't allowed to, so... Who knows
where
this shit
works.
God,
they hoarded out enough when he did his little backstage segment. It was on, like, three TVs surrounding him.
It had posters all over the place, yeah. Well, I've got it on my Netflix, so I'll be seeing it sooner or later. His appearance was good. It was refreshing. It didn't seem out of place. I mean, obviously because he's a wrestler. And his interaction, to segue into, like, the Bret Hart stuff, was his interaction with Vince McMahon and Bret Hart I thought was really good. Because, again, he didn't overshadow it.
Yeah. And, I mean, I think that's the thing that maybe the other guys don't get that that he does. You know, it becomes more, oh, God, and that's another thing. It becomes more about them. I was going to compare referees, but I can get to that. Maybe remind me or something like that when we get to the main event thing. Well, fuck it. I'm going to do it now before I forget. Slick Johnson... has to draw attention to himself as a referee. Like, he gets up and, like, he does the two count, and he, like, got up and, like, walked around the ring during that main event.
Yeah.
And you contrast that with the man, the myth, and the legend that is Mike Chioda. And you know what he'll do is that, you know, he makes a big deal out of it. He'll go, two, and, you know, you'll see some big reaction out of him.
Mm-hmm.
But Slick Johnson would get up out of the shot and walk around the ring. Mike Chioda stays in the camera shot and does it. So it's not like, where'd the referee go?
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't really take away from the action by getting up away from the action. He's still paying attention to the guys that are the action.
Well, it's because Slick Johnson's a penis, that's why.
But still, it's just another one of those things that they're. It's another reason why they're inferior, and why I can't understand why anybody tolerates them.
Yeah. Well, it's
or
still,
even
it's,
tries to say that they're a decent product. It's like even their referees below.
Especially when they have like WWE. I mean, Earl Hebner and all this other crap too. They bring them in. But no, I know exactly what you mean, and it's.
Yeah, sorry to segue off whole Austin part.
Yeah, let's get back to actual good stuff so we have something positive to talk about for a change.
Well, it's Mike Chioda. How can that not be positive?
Yeah, true. But no, the whole, I mean, I think everyone knew what was coming with the contract signing. You and Eric talked about it that they had to give it away a week early.
yeah, because a lot of these matches, and I don't think I'm giving away anything, they're kind of running out of hype, really.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And, you know, if they did that next week, well, you know, it wouldn't have had the same impact without Stone Cold there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even though he did the right thing and didn't Bigfoot it, they could know the history with McMahon and with Bret Hart.
Exactly.
And no matter who's on next week, and I don't know who it is, and I don't really give a shit, they can't come to that kind of agitation with both guys.
Right.
I guess. So, yeah, it was much better to do it with him in there than any other guest host they possibly could have had.
Yeah. Well, you know, next week, I don't know who the guest host is either. I'll look it up real quick, but they don't need a guest host next week. I think next week is, I know why they like having them, but it'd be nice to just have just wrestling. So you don't have to work in all these dumbass sketches and skits and blah, blah, blah with these guest hosts. I mean, it just totally takes away from it.
Well,
so
that's
what I'm hoping they don't have next week. So
that's the one thing that I did kind of like about Austin, too, is that he didn't, not only did he not take over the segments that he was in, and they didn't, like, force him into more segments than most of the guest GMs have been in either. You know, he had his intro, he had the backstage segment, and then he had Hart McMahon.
Yeah.
Signing, and that was it.
Huh. I can't seem to find who the guest host is for next week, so maybe there isn't one.
Okay, well.
It's a smart idea on their part, I think, but.
Yep.
But that segment, that was the first time Bret Hart showed flashes that he still got something, to me at least. He was still kind of choppy on the mic, but he was never the greatest on the mic. So when Austin walks away, he goes, "I'll just let Bret Hart tell you." And you see McMahon just turn around like, "Ugh." I mean, and not even scared, just like, "What do you want now?" And it turns around and the cast is on the table and he picks a crutch up. And Bret Hart's got the glasses off, which was essential for it. With this, that look on his face, like, here you go. And I was like, I mean, I got a big smile on my face, like, oh my God, this is finally getting good.
Well, and they did the smart thing too, which is they didn't show any of that stuff. They concentrated on Austin leaving and mm-hmm. McMahon's reaction and kind of giving him guff. So that it gave Hart the time to get the cast off and everything.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was good camera work on their part to miss out on that. Like, those dummies from TNA probably would have shown you Bret Hart taking off the cast rather than going for that shock moment for everybody. You know, because, you know, okay, the people in the arena saw it. You can't get around that, really.
But they didn't react. So that's what I was going to say is Hart did it in such a way where the crowd didn't even go crazy.
Yeah.
So that you didn't hear the cheers. So, like, when you're watching on TV, going back to what you were saying about the camera work, you saw the cast and you were like, oh, shit. I mean, it was, I mean, like I said, we knew, the people who listen to the show and do these sort of things know what was coming. But another thing I told Eric at the beginning of that show is there were a ton of kids in the audience Monday night. I mean, they were everywhere. Uh-huh. Well, those kids aren't reading the internet and looking this stuff up. They're going to WWE.com and being fed whatever they want them to read. So, and that's fine. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that.
Right.
So, you know, it was just one of those things like, wow, man, it's everything about it was really, really good.
Yeah.
And McMahon's understated reaction as well. He didn't do the giant gulp, which I thought was really, really cool.
Yeah, but he's I mean, when he's on, still he still has just some of the greatest reactions. He still kind of had that
I am not saying he didn't have a great reaction last night because he did. It was just a weird understated one.
Yeah,
to where they weren't playing it up for all the gigantic like ha ha look what happened sort of thing. But no, and it got me excited for the match finally. Like okay, Brett finally showed he could do something. Now the physical part may be something totally different, but. You know, that's up in the air still, so.
Yeah.
And then, let's see, last night, they really just kind of forwarded a bunch of stuff, but then also finally added Randy Orton's match to WrestleMania by giving him a triple threat match with versus Ted DiBiase and Cody Rhodes. I don't understand the match, and they're going to have to do something next week. Because it's just going to be Legacy beating on them. And then are we expected to think they're going to go after each other?
Even I think Lawler and them mentioned something about that. Or maybe it's just Orton himself saying that, you know, they're not going to be able to team up on them or something. But it's like, yeah, wouldn't you... You know, again, I just don't understand why this doesn't happen more on these, you know, three-person matches. Why two people just don't beat up on the other guy so bad... That he literally is a non-factor. Like, he's got to take that edge coffee break. And, you know, then you guys fight it out. You know, if you have 15 minutes to run a match, which, if they get 15 minutes total, I'll be fairly surprised.
Yeah. They might. It's Randy Orton. He has enough pull now to where they may want to give him something. So.
I don't think they're going to get any... Maybe I should say, I don't think they're going to get any more than 15.
Yeah. Oh, I just found the guest host for next week, by the way. It's Pete Rose.
Outstanding.
Yeah.
Go Pete.
And then, this is my whole thing with this, is there shouldn't be one next week, and there shouldn't be one the day after WrestleMania. Just shouldn't. And the day after WrestleMania is the cast of Hot Tub Time Machine.
Oh. Which will be out already, but, you know, whatever. So.
And then the cast of MacGruber, which MacGruber actually looks like that might be kind of funny. I hate to say it, but... So they finally got Orton in a match. I mean, everyone knew it was coming in some capacity, but I was trying to figure out, like, who his opponent or a team member could be. I wasn't expecting a triple threat.
Yeah, and they've blown their wad with him, honestly. Like, Eric and I were discussing this. Like, there was no... If they were going to go in with this match, they should have strung out them breaking up a little bit longer, or at least him siding with Ted more than Cody.
Yeah.
For a little bit longer to make things work out. Instead of, what was it, 2 weeks ago now that he gave DiBiase the RKO at ringside?
Yeah.
You know, yeah, they could have had Rhodes team with Sheamus or whatever against DiBiase and Orton. And then, you know, have him turn on DiBiase at that point and let him get pinned or something. I don't care, you know?
Mm-hmm.
and have Cody Rhodes make the pin so that there's a reason why it's a three-way match rather than just
something.
Yeah.
But well, they got. I mean, at least they got that out of the way, and it seems like the card set at least.
Well, so. Yeah. And the other card setter was the obligatory. We're just gonna throw all the women together in a match because we can't write for them anymore.
Yeah. Which will not be covered in our WrestleMania previews. How are we supposed to fill 15 minutes with that? There you go.
We could rate them all on hotness and just never talk about the match.
Hey, that's a good call, actually. What's that game? Marry, Kill something? No, anyways, we play that game for 15 minutes.
Okay.
Yeah. Trying to think what else happened on here. Sheamus cut a promo on Triple H, then destroyed Evan Bourne. Pretty standard stuff. I mean, it doesn't have to be earth-shattering. It just has to be decent or solid to get a people's reaction. So
yeah, and I mean, it's one of those why they use Bourne, but people do care about him, so I kind of understand. And he did get the cheap shot in with the mic to
start off
the beatdown.
But you got Primo Cologne doing nothing. Why not use him instead of a guy who's in Money in the Bank?
Yeah.
At least, I mean, the whole point is to make Sheamus look like a badass.
Oh, do you have the WrestleMania card up, by the way?
No, I've got it memorized after doing all the prep work today.
Okay. Well, then I'll ask you that in a little bit. But, yeah, it was nice, because I think I said with Eric last week that Sheamus just was not getting enough promo time. And it was good that he got some this week, especially alone.
Yes, exactly. And with no one to play off of, anything like that, yeah.
Yeah.
So that was fine. And
that was
then,
needed.
Yeah, and we had the Triple H, or Shawn Michaels, Undertaker, with everyone talking about him.
Yeah, that was the other thing. I was like, I have no idea how they're going to hype this match even more. And I saw that, and I'm just like, okay, that's the way they can do it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That is the only way they can hype this match more. Like, having them in a tag match is just stupid.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
That would have been a little much, probably.
Yeah, and they can't really... I don't know what they can really do again in the promo department.
I'm trying to think. I mean, they got three more shows to go.
Well, you know...
Remember
really
last year they had
a
funeral and all that stuff. That was kind of fun. So
yeah.
Well, they're taking the opposite approach with this match this year. I mean, I guess we should save this part, but there's a different approach to it than there was last year. So, and that's all. We'll leave it off for the WrestleMania previews.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds good.
Yeah, but no, it's just Raw was just a solid show with some good angles.
Yeah.
And in comparison, to bring up TNA again. And they resonate with you. They last with you because they're not trying to shove 47 different people onto a show.
And even with the fact that almost all of the big matches ended Jericho walked out, Batista semi-interfered in the Big Show Cena match.
Yeah.
And well, actually, even the Jericho segment makes a little bit of sense because they didn't have all these people running down to interfere like that X Division match. Like, it was just Edge came down. HBK gives Jericho the sweet chin music, and then Edge spears him again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was very clear what the match was that they were hyping at the end of it. And it was kind of obvious in the Batista-Big Show match. You know, who...
Yeah. No, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah.
So, but it was like, those were actually on the back burner a little bit in comparison. Like, they wanted to get their big angles over. They got it over... So then next week they can remind you, this is what you got to do for everything. Because sooner or later you have to bring in all the Money in the Bank guys and have the big fight. So.
Yeah.
But in comparison, that you notice, just by watching Raw the beginning, the opening credits, compared to, maybe it's because I don't get Spike in HD yet. The opening of each show, right there, you're like, holy shit, this is professional, this isn't. WWE, I mean, you open this giant arena with a giant stage. You go to Impact, you're in this dungeon, basically. I mean, this little hole in the wall place. And they have, like, I mean, what's his name? Kofi Kingston, who's basically a jobber now, comes out, does the three hand clicks, and you've got an entire row of fireworks going off. All right? I can't remember who it was. Maybe the Dudleys. I don't, or the Team 3D, whatever. Someone comes out, and they let off, they go, pow, that's it. Like, two fireworks shoot in the air. Like, single fireworks. And you're like, if you're going to do it right. If you don't do it right, then don't do it at all. Because it makes you look, makes you look rank. It makes you look amateur.
Yeah. But. And that, well, and that is kind of the other funny thing is that I don't know if it was the greatest, it wasn't one of the greatest Raws ever or anything like that. But still, even in comparison, it was a lot better than TNA.
Yeah. And I understand TNA's small, but it's, if you're not willing to take a chance and go on the road, try and sell tickets, get in some sort of other arena, it's not going to work. Even WCW did that. They were at the Mall of America, where the hell they were. It was a different setting. It was intriguing. It was visually different. That's the only way TNA is going to be able to do anything. And get rid of all the guys in the 50 and older club.
Well, and I'm not a big, and not to, go on too long, but I'm not a big fan of the ramp, and I don't think that's helping the lighting at all. It seems like it has darkened things up.
You got it. Yeah, I totally agree with you.
Yeah, they could do things to lighten up the arena.
Yeah. Well, but if they lighten the arena up, then you're going to notice that there's nothing there. It's just an empty shell. So therein lies a problem, too.
They can spotlight the ringside area. Well, not the ringside area, but the whatever their main entrance ramp area is a little bit better. But whatever. I think.
Fuck them.
Yeah.
And we're rambling now.
I'm getting picky.
All right. Well, listen, let's wrap it up there. In case you couldn't figure out, Kevin and I are going to do our annual WrestleMania audios. They're basically just real short shows, 15 minutes, one per match. The Divas, who knows what we're going to do with this year. And we're going to try and get them up way earlier than we did last year, where we were putting up two a day, which was kind of fun to do. But it became very tiring, too, as dumb as that sounds. So look for those. Are they going to start this week? Are we going to start them this week? Or
Sometime later in the week here, yeah. Hopefully.
Yeah. So look out for those.
We figured out there are 9 matches.
Yeah, so far.
Yeah. And we're going to try to end no later than either Friday or Saturday before WrestleMania.
Right.
Hopefully Friday. So, we'll put them out sporadically to, get the consumption down
Holy
for everybody.
Shit, yeah. Looks like, we got to work. We got some work to do then. So.
Yep.
All right. But anyways, sorry that we should do that off the air. I'm going to get out of here. We'll talk to you later.
Okie doke. Well, it is fairly early in the day here, so I will save my sippy time beer for later. It's time to hit the gym so I don't look like Samoa Joe, who's been kidnapped and not heard from in the last couple of weeks. Out.